Good morning, KRFY listeners. You're tuned in to Community Conversation, and I'm Susie Prez, your host for today's conversation. Community Conversation is an interim show in place of the live morning show and broadcasts each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m., bringing local content through recorded interviews. And please note, Community Conversation presents recorded interviews via Zoom, and due to occasional internet glitches, sound quality can vary, so please be patient if we have any issues. We also want to thank Zoom for supporting our Community Conversation efforts. My guest today is Catherine Hoyer, Public Information Officer for Panhandle Health District. And Catherine, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
There's so much information out there, and you're here to help disseminate and delineate the current state of COVID in our area and in the in Idaho, and share details of the vaccine rollout in our area. Much information is circulating between folks, and it needs to be clarified and verified, as I say. So thanks again for taking the time. I know your time is probably over the top, overwhelming, but again, I'm so happy that you could join us. So first of all, let's talk about the team at Panhandle Health District. Oh, first of all, I just want to thank the team because I know, like I just said, it's a big job that you guys are doing. It's probably over the top. It hit you like a rocket, and you're just doing a fantastic job. So thanks to the whole team there at Panhandle Health District.
Thank you for saying that. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I can only imagine. But in knowing there's a lot to get to, so let's review the status of COVID-19 pandemic. Are we getting control of this terrible health crisis? Where are we at here in North Idaho? And what's the status?
We have recently seen some of our trends start to become more of a flat line, not a sharp increase like we've been seeing the past couple months. That doesn't mean that we're in a good place, though, as far as the pandemic goes. We're still seeing hundreds of cases per day that we're processing. Our positivity rate is still in the red zone. Our hospital is still, you know, especially Kootenai Health, where a lot of these COVID patients filter down to, they're seeing a high capacity of COVID patients. So we're really, we're not in a great place in the pandemic. And I think we're really feeling the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving, we saw a surge after that. We also saw a surge after Christmas and New Year's. So we really, we still advise people to take all the precautions that they can.
So with that in mind, staying vigilant, staying aware, we're in the red zone, which is stage two, I think. What can we as citizens do to help, you know, partner with Panhandle Health District and the CDC and the state of Idaho, the One Idaho Initiative? What can we as citizens do to help continue to help control the spread? Because it's not slowing down right now.
Yeah, it's really not. And I know that, you know, with the vaccine rolling out, you know, people, I know I want to feel hope, and I do feel hope with the vaccine rolling out and having those first top tier people, those priority groups beginning to receive it. But that is such a small amount of folks who have received it thus far in our area, in the nation. So really, we all need to continue wearing our masks, physically distance from each other. Don't gather, stay home if you're sick, wash your hands frequently, you know, all the things that we've been practicing since the beginning of this pandemic. We need to continue until we reach a point where we see low to no levels of community transmission happening. We want to see a lower positivity rate. We want to see our hospital in a good place where they're not in a critical space. So we cannot overwhelm them. You know, there's other illnesses and accidents that happen throughout the pandemic. We want those people to be able to receive care too.
So when you're talking about getting the levels to a place where there's less or very little community transmission, where are we at as far as, you know, you said after the holidays, we saw a surge and we're still seeing the surge right now after the Christmas holiday. What how is it spreading? What age group are you seeing it spread in mostly? I mean, it's spreading all over the place, but is there a demographics that is actually the biggest place where it's happening?
Yeah, so we have a lot of the demographics posted on our COVID page. Our Tableau dashboard does break it out by age groups. We've seen a high amount of cases among those, I'd say 20 to 40. So that is the highest percentage of cases in our area. You can also see on our Tableau dashboard the high percentage of people who have been hospitalized by age group. And I know, you know, the age group that is hospitalized the most is, you know, 60 to, you know, 90, but we've even seen, those under 18 hospitalized from COVID. And that's, I mean, that's just really unfortunate. We also post, demographics of the deaths that we've seen, due to COVID, and we've had people as young in their 50s, die from COVID in our area, which is, I mean, it's awful.
Yeah, all deaths are awful. One of the things when you say 20 to 40-year-olds are the biggest group that is basically testing positive, but they're also, I think they may have the idea, well, I'm young, I won't get it severely, I won't end up in the hospital, but that's not the point of the protection by wearing a mask and things like that. It's to slow down the spread so that that age group 60 to 90 don't get sick, end up in the hospital, and die. So we don't do these mitigating activities such as wearing masks, washing hands, not gathering in big crowds indoors to protect ourselves. Oh, we do that to protect ourselves if you're young, 20 to 40, but it's also to protect your neighbors and your family and your friends that are older than you.
Yeah, I think certainly some of the mask wearing has been a bit misconstrued, but really a mask is protecting. When I wear a mask, if we were doing this interview in person, if we were allowed to, or if we were willing to, I would be wearing my mask, and that would be to protect you from my respiratory droplets. We know this virus, it needs to catch a ride, and it's going to catch a ride on our respiratory droplets that come out when we speak, sing, yell, when we sneeze or cough. So I'm protecting you by wearing a mask. There has been some studies that have come out more recently that do show that the mask may protect the wearer as well. Probably not as much as I'm protecting you, by wearing one, but I really feel like it's an act of kindness. Let's protect our community. Let's protect our neighbors.
I think you just hit it on the head right there. It's an act of kindness. I saw a sign or a poster that showed someone wearing a mask standing in front of someone without a mask, and they coughed. And they, you know, that was like 20, or the person out without a mask coughed, and it protected the person with the mask like 20%. But if both of them were wearing a mask, it was 80%. So come on, folks, we're saying that this is a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, we can keep pushing on that as much as we can. And just back to hand washing, you know, I remember in the beginning we were all, you know, had washing stations when we came in the house with our groceries. We were wiping everything down. Is that still protocol that is recommended?
So I would recommend washing your hands when you come home from being out in the public. I come into my home, I wash my hands. And remember, you need to wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. It's a lot longer than you think. I don't think I was washing my hands long enough pre-pandemic. But an easy way to do that, you know, you can sing the ABCs, you can sing happy birthday twice. I do it with my kids. We make up silly songs until we reach that 20 seconds and we have a good lather and we rinse. So, it's just a fun way to continue to, you know, make that a habit of washing your hands.
Sounds good to me. You know, it's also a nice moment in time when your hands are in warm water, soapy, have some beautiful soap that smells good, and just enjoy the moment. So there you go. Well, let's move on to the vaccine, because as you said, it is a sign of hope, and it is a sign, but I also have heard it say the vaccine is just another level of protection. What does that really mean, and what does it really do?
So with the vaccine that has come out that's received the emergency use authorizations from the FDA include Pfizer and Moderna. Both of them have had proved very high efficacy rate, 95 and 94% efficacy, meaning you only have about a 5% chance of getting COVID after you are fully vaccinated. So these are really, it's a very high efficacy for a vaccine, probably one of the highest we've ever seen.
That's the good news.
Yeah, it's great news.
So you get the vaccine. I have also seen this on NPR. I think it was the three questions to ask about the vaccine. One of them is, once you get it, both doses, and it's 2 weeks later and you're fully charged with this wonderful thing, what does that really mean as far as going out in public? If you had grandchildren or children who are not vaccinated, what does it really mean once you're vaccinated? How do you interface the same? Is it the same that we've been doing? What does it mean?
Yeah, so that's a great question, especially when we don't have a high percentage of the population vaccinated yet. So the great news is, once you've received two doses of the vaccine and you've waited that 2 weeks, if you were potentially exposed to COVID, if you know you had an exposure, you don't need to quarantine. So that is the latest guidance that has come out. So that's great news. People don't have to isolate any longer if they've had that exposure and they're fully vaccinated. So we can, you know, we can keep the kids in school if they've been exposed, if, you know, you're 16 and older, because the vaccines are only for 16 and up. Teachers don't have to miss work. Grocery store people don't have to miss work. Healthcare providers, I mean, that is huge. I hope that people realize that, you know, not missing work is a huge benefit of receiving the vaccine after you've had those two doses and you've waited that 2 weeks. But that being said, because only a small percentage of the population is receiving the vaccine, because of these phased approach, because of the supply, we do all need to continue practicing the precautions to keep everyone safe. Once we have that low level of community transmission, once we're seeing less people hospitalized, less people dying, then we can reconsider, you know, loosening the precautions, maybe removing our masks, maybe not physically distancing as much, maybe opening up gatherings and things like that. But it's going to take a while.
And just going back to that take a while thought, the effectiveness of the vaccine really hits home, both, you know, in our daily lives and how we are socially, but also economically. As you mentioned, people don't miss work when a certain portion are fully immunized or vaccinated. How do we know when we get to that point? Is it just numbers? Is that what's going to indicate it?
So I think we'll have a few indications. So we'll know from the data that we're seeing as far as cases, case counts, positivity rates, hospitalization rates. We'll still track all of that. But then also, with more and more people becoming vaccinated, the studies continue, the data will continue. We're just going to have to follow, you know, these people that are vaccinated, you know, how effective it is in the general public. You know, we know that both of the vaccines have gone through rigorous clinical trials with tens of thousands of participants. But now we're seeing how what that efficacy is when it hits the general public. So that will continue to be monitored.
Okay, and one last thing on the vaccine before we go into the rollout. What are some of the side effects? What do people have to look for? You know, there's this whole thought of, is it safe? Can answer that.
So the general side effects that someone can expect are similar to when they receive a flu shot, or I've even heard it compared to like a shingles vaccine. I have not received the shingles vaccine, so I can't compare that, but I can compare it to the flu shot. And I did have a similar sore arm for like 1 to 2 days. Some people have like redness or swelling at the injection site, which should taper off within a day or two as well. If you do experience other symptoms, You can report those to either VAERS, which is through the CDC, or the CDC created an app that is called VSafe that you can report your, if you're experiencing more severe symptoms. So you could also experiencing fatigue, chills, maybe some body aches or muscle aches. So if you are experiencing more of a moderate to severe side effect, report it. So then they have that data and we can just improve on the vaccine. That's what those things are there for.
All righty. Well, before we move on to the exciting news of the rollout of the vaccine, just want to remind the 88.5 KRFY listeners that this is Community Conversations, and I'm Susie Prez. I'm talking with Catherine Hoyer, Public Information Officer, Panhandle Health District. And we've just gone over kind of where we're at as a state and a community with the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic. We've also talked about the vaccine, how it will be a mitigating force to getting us back to our lives. And now we're going to move on to the vaccine rollout and how people can access. So let's talk a moment, Catherine, about the vaccine. Just where are we at with the rollout? How do people, the whole thing? I mean, I sent you an outline and there's a lot of questions people have. I will say up front, I've had my first dose. I'm in that age group, which is the 65 to 75 year age group. Somehow they had extra up here and in Sandpoint. But so where are we at? We're immunizing people in stage 1A, maybe stage 1B. Just give us the lowdown on the rollout here in North Idaho.
So in Idaho, there is a committee that the governor put together. So that's the Idaho COVID-19 Vaccine Advisory Committee, or CVAC for short. It's a group that that is making recommendations on the phased approach for the vaccine. So that group makes recommendations. Then the governor reviews those recommendations and he approves or makes changes. That group is guided by ACIP, which is the CDC's immunization program. So they've also made recommendations nationally for the vaccine rollout in the phased approach, because they knew it couldn't just be everyone all at once due to the supply. So once ACIP has their recommendations, CVAC sets down and they review those recommendations, they make their recommendations, and then the governor approves. And then that filters down to the local health districts. So as a health district, we are an enrolled vaccine provider, meaning that we can receive the COVID-19 vaccine and we can administer it. So due to the vaccine, in particular, Pfizer requiring an extreme ultra cold storage, we had to prove that we could do that as part of the enrolled provider process. We do have several other providers in our area who are also able to receive and administer the vaccine. So right now we're still in phase 1A and we've started vaccinating the top tiers, our priority groups per the governor and CVAC, the top priority groups of phase 1B. So in phase 1A, we have healthcare workers who provide direct patient care. So that does include like behavioral health, physical therapists, dentists, dental hygienists, basically anyone who, you know, you cannot do your patient care via telehealth. So we've really been able to vaccinate quite a few people in that group utilizing our enrolled providers, partners in all of our communities. In the top priority groups of phase 1B, we've begun vaccinating those K-12 school employees, childcare workers, first responders, and correctional and detention facility staff. So once we're through that top priority group in phase 1B, then we can begin vaccinating those 65 and older, and we're hoping to start that in February.
Okay, well, that kind of gives a picture. So I want to get back to the enrolled vaccine providers. Who else is in our community that is possibly in that designation, that phased provider designation?
Yeah, so all of the major hospitals in the five northern counties are enrolled providers. So that includes Kootenai Health, Bonner General, Shoshone Medical, Benoit Community Hospital. So we have our major players as enrolled providers, and they've been excellent at helping us to vaccinate that first phase 1A group. A lot of them had their own healthcare workers that they wanted to vaccinate as well. So it was a perfect setup. And that went fairly smoothly. We also have a few pharmacies who are enrolled providers, which will really help when we're able to vaccinate the general public. People might be able to visit their local pharmacy and receive the vaccine. We also have Heritage Health and Kinnick-Sioux Health. They are enrolled providers as well. So they've been very helpful with helping us vaccinate home healthcare providers. And then some of the pharmacies that didn't sign up for the pharmacy partnership program, or some of the long-term care facilities, that didn't sign up for the pharmacy partnership program, we've been able to vaccinate them through local pharmacies.
This seems like a huge coordination effort, and I am in awe of whoever's doing it. So who is coordinating all of this process?
Yeah, so we have a dedicated team here. Our public health preparedness department has done a lot of the management of the vaccine supply and distribution. We also have liaisons for each county. So we're in constant communication with our enrolled providers. We do have a system that's set up for our enrolled providers to request number of doses each week that they want to receive. So we have the process fairly smoothed out for those enrolled providers. A lot of it is just trying to continually communicate with our community to let them know, you know, where we are in the phases, when they can receive the vaccine, and how is the greatest question right now.
Well, I was going to move into the how pretty quickly, and I just want to give you another shout out because you've been putting out a lot of PSAs on the internet, and as a radio station, we've received those on a regular basis. That's what kind of prompted me to contact you, just to get some more information out through the airwaves to our listeners. So how do people access? I'm just thinking about the 85-year-old neighbor I have that does not have computer. And how do you know he even exists? You know, is it through doctors? Is it through, how do people interface and get on the, so to speak, list, the rollout list?
Yeah, so that is an excellent question. So Panhandle is not keeping a list, but we do know that we have a very eager group, a very eager community that want to receive the vaccine. And we want to reach every single person who wants the vaccine. You will be offered the vaccine. We know that we do have a small portion of folks who, you know, they're more rural, they don't have internet access, or maybe just not reliable internet. So we do have our COVID-19 hotline that they're welcome to call. And come February, when we have the vaccine available to those 65 and older, if they cannot register online for an appointment, you can call our hotline and we will help you register over the phone. I want to stress this, anyone who wants to receive the vaccine, when your phase becomes available, you can receive the vaccine. And I want to say again, so February is when we will begin vaccinating those 65 plus. So right now we're just getting through the schools, we're getting through our child cares, our first responders. We're still working through that group. Panhandle does not have a list. We're not keeping one. But once we have vaccine appointments available for this next phase of 65 plus, that will be on our website. It will be on our social media sites. Our COVID-19 hotline will have that information available. We will coordinate with the media to let them all know who, what, when, and where. And then we'll also be coordinating with our community healthcare providers. So those enrolled providers who can vaccinate folks, they are working with us. They will actually help us by reaching out to their 65 plus age group patient group. And they'll be offering the vaccine to their patients. So you might be vaccinated through us, but you may also be vaccinated through a pharmacy or your healthcare provider.
And just thinking about this, when I mentioned the 85-year-old neighbor, just if you're listening to this and you have an 85-year-old neighbor, go to them and help them. They can call that hotline is what you're saying if they're in the 1A right now. And
if you're in the phase 1A group, yeah, go ahead and call our hotline and we can set you up with an appointment right now because those vaccines are available to that group. And then come February, if you're 65 plus, check out our website. You know, it's a fairly simple process to register for a vaccine appointment, and we'll have our enrolled providers who are offering the vaccine to that group as available on that site as well. So you can choose which enrolled provider you want to go to, and the easiest one for you to get to, really, because we want to, this is the 5 northern counties that we serve, so we'll have locations in each county.
So just because you mentioned two things, the website is panhandlehealthdistrict.org.
Correct.
And that hotline, do you want to give it out right now? Remembering it's if you're 75 or older, you can call and find out how to get.
So phase 1A or the top tier of phase 1B. So phase 1A are the healthcare providers who cannot telework. They're providing direct patient care. Home healthcare providers. So if you work for an agency where you're in and out of multiple people's homes per day, providing direct close contact patient care. If you're a K-12 school employee, a child care worker, a first responder, or a correctional or detention facility staff, you are eligible for the vaccine right now. So you can call our hotline to find out where to register. And then come February, we'll begin vaccinating those 65 plus.
So in that 1A, just to be redundant, 75 to 85 year olds can register now.
No, that is not phase 1A. So okay. 65 plus will begin in February.
What about 75 to 85?
They're not.
Oh, 65 plus, just 65 plus. Okay.
65 plus, we're hoping to begin in February. If anything changes, we'll make an announcement, but that is the hope right now. We're on track to keep that schedule, and we'll have all of that information available through the channels that I've stated, our website, our COVID hotline, our Facebook page. The media will know, and we'll coordinate with our enrolled providers.
I think you just answered about 20 questions right there.
I hope so.
65 and up, folks. That's 1B, and that will be in February.
It will, yes.
All right, there we go. Another question that I think some people have had, so you're in the 1A group, you've had your first vaccine because you're a healthcare provider or all those that you mentioned, and you can get all that information on that website, panhandlehealthdistrict.org. But also, you've gotten your first vaccine. This is just a logistics thing with your organization and the rollout here in Idaho, North Idaho. How do you hold back enough for that second vaccine? It's 3 weeks for Pfizer after the first one and 4 weeks after the, and a lot of people have that question. How do you guarantee that there'll be a second dose available? And is it essential? Does it just boost the efficacy of the whole vaccine?
It does. So with Moderna, after your first dose, your 2 weeks after your first dose, you have about 80% efficacy. After your second dose and your 2 week wait, you're at 94% efficacy. It does make a difference. And Pfizer, after your first dose, you have about 50% efficacy. After your second dose, you have 95% efficacy. So the second dose really does matter. So I understand the concern of folks wondering, will the second dose be guaranteed? And yes, it will be. So everyone who comes and has their first dose, we schedule your second dose at that time of your first dose appointment. So you're scheduled, you're in our system, you will receive a notification letting you know that you're scheduled. Put it in your calendar. Don't forget to come for your second dose. But we have, as enrolled providers and public health district, we've been promised from the federal government and our state that the second doses are guaranteed. They have those available. They're already, when we get our first shipment and they know that's earmarked for first dose, they just put it in their system that we need the second doses on this date and they're already scheduled. So it's a good system that we have in place. Some people have already received their second dose. So we'll just keep moving along and moving through these phases until we have everyone who wants a vaccine has received one.
Oh, I just am in awe of what folks are doing, both on the state level and our community level here in North Idaho, Panhandle Health District. And I'm speaking again with Catherine Hoyer, Communications Officer at Panhandle Health District, Public Information Officer. Any last words of wisdom? I mean, there's so much to cover with, you know, we've been living in this. And again, thank you for all the work that you're doing. I think about the IT guys that are setting up these websites, constantly changing. Everything's constantly changing. It's amazing what you're doing. Any last words of wisdom, Catherine?
Just, I know that right now, due to the supply and the phased approach, it would be easy to lose patience and hope, but we ask our community to understand that we're doing everything we can. To date, we've successfully distributed all of the shipments that we've received and/or administered doses ourselves. We have a system in place where we're not wasting any doses. Our enrolled healthcare providers are held to that same standard, so they're not wasting any doses either. We're on a mission, and that mission is to vaccinate the folks who want to receive this vaccine. And we know the rollout is going to take months. So we do ask for your patience, but know that it is coming.
And continue to stay vigilant. We are in a pandemic, and even if you've been fully vaccinated, you're so fortunate, but everyone will get that. What you just said really gave a lot of hope to our listeners, I'm sure. And if we just stay the course, in a very short time, maybe by summer, we can all celebrate in a different way. Yes. This has been hard for everyone, but the work there at Panhandle Health District and all of our healthcare providers has been amazing, and let's protect each other. Is that the final word? Yes. So I just want to thank you again, Catherine Hoyer, Public Information Officer for Panhandle Health District, for joining me today. I hope this information helps our listeners. So again, thank you.
Thank you, Susie.
And I'm just really happy to let our listeners know that that's about it, folks, for today. Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY community and listener-supported radio for North Idaho and beyond. We are streaming on the web at krfy.org. And if you didn't get to hear this interview today, it will be a podcast on our station's website at krfy.org. And since we are a resource to help our community with information and news, the North Idaho area and our county is in a critical pandemic red stage or stage two. Remember to follow Panhandle Health District, Idaho State, and federal government CDC guidelines, please wear a mask in public, especially inside buildings and businesses, even outside if you're close to other people. Keep a 6 to 10 foot distance. Wash up. Wash those hands. Sing happy birthday when you're doing it. Stay home as much as possible. Stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider. Get a test. Do not gather in large groups indoors. It's really pretty simple, and we can get through this together. That's the key word, folks. We're doing this for each other. Let's protect each other. Let's be good neighbors, friends, and again, please wear a mask. Stay safe. Be well. Please enjoy Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye for now.